You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper 9 here. You might not know who I am, but I've got nothing better to do. So watch with Soccer Cooligans, talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link,
do that'll something. Do. That'll perfect. Do.
Let's go.
Vamos. We are here. We're doing it, everybody. Live on YouTube. Live. We're live.
I'm on YouTube.
YouTube.com/soccercooligans or YouTube.com every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you for tuning in to another Prem show. We just got finished watching some UEFA Champions League. We're on the precipice of the return of CONCACAF Champions League. This is a nice little sandwich we are in, literally, as you're listening to this. We're in it, the best of both worlds, you know?
I'm sorry, am I in a sandwich? That might be... I've been dreaming about this since I was a child.
You know what?
That's right. We just got finished watching Premier League. We just got finished watching Champions League. We just finished watching your mother. You know what I mean?
Because we care about her and we're trying to take care of her. And we're making sure.
We just want to make sure she aight.
Okay. No, we are not coming at you with disrespect. All right?
Nah. If anything, you should be thanking us.
Okay. All right. So say hello to your mother for me. All right.
Tell her to keep it going. She knows what I mean. Official sponsor of the Besitos 11. If you know, you know. Kappa. Oh, because they're... Kappa is two women sitting back to back, right?
I believe so. I think that's what at the end of Requiem for a Dream, he was like ass to ass. Yeah, that's what he was referring to, the Kappa logo, I think. Do you remember that scene? You don't remember that scene?
You think I watched Requiem?
That was a great movie. You never seen that movie?
No.
Get out, bro. It's a great movie. It's with Jared Leto and he's like a junkie.
No, I know. Isn't Marlon Wayans? One of the Wayans?
Yeah, dude. Get out of here without not watching Wrecking for. It's a great movie. That was
Maxwell Lowe said.
And that was a great joke that you completely missed out on because you did not watch this movie.
Use a reference for a movie I've seen. If you would have said Goodfellas, I would have been like, oh. Okay.
Everybody in the chat, how dope was that joke I just made? That was a great, I think it was a pretty good one.
Do you understand what you just did? You have to say, guys, tell me how great the joke I just made was.
Can you, in the chat, can you pat me on the back somehow? Please do that. Okay.
Wait, Jordan Angeli said, I thought it was a man and a woman. It could be.
That isn't Jordan Angeli because that is a person that we know who works for the Columbus Crew. That's Jordan Angel.
Okay, my bad. I saw the two L's. And also, Maxwell Lowe had said, Alexis, fix your hat. He deleted the message, but this is how I'm wearing it because I need to remind everyone I still got that fire hairline. Feel me?
It's very, very important.
So this is the way I wear it.
Bay Raguna said, don't take it on stage, Christian. I will not. I will not.
But, okay. I don't know. I think we're getting feedback on
the
joke.
I don't know how, I think the Requiem for a Dream reference will do better than the Kappa logo reference, but who knows? Okay.
Oh shit, Dylan put Requiem for a bit. Hey.
Let's go. So
wait, we're finding out it's one man and one woman on the Kappa logo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, RCAB said Third Rail are offering a chance to win a trip to the 2022 World Cup. What are you guys bribing us with? We're also offering you a chance to win Third Rail's trip.
very kind of us to hop on board.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So let's, where to begin today? First, I just want to remind everybody, we have a huge show on Thursday on Fubo Sports Network because we have probably the biggest guest we've ever had. I mean, I don't think that's...
And the biggest announcement.
I don't think that's a big stretch, but... Sebastian Legette, who's essentially just some guy who just happened to be,
normally big deal, but when he's sitting next to this person, he's just
of the
he's just that dude.
Yes, of the New England Revolution, Sebastian Legette. He is on the show, but he's also joining us with his lady, his girlfriend. It's a special Valentine's Day episode. Becky G, the multi-platinum recording artist, actress. She was a Power Ranger. Becky G,
bro,
is joining us on the show. She's you've heard her songs with like Bad Bunny, with El Alfa. I don't know how. Yeah, everybody in this chat, you better get on board with reggaeton, merengue, dembow, everything, okay? Because no other soccer show has this level of diversity, bro. It is incredible.
No.
So
I mean, look, if you didn't understand a word Christian just said, we gotta switch up your Spotify a little bit. You know what I mean? Sorry, Rogan, you gotta move over a little bit. We gotta have a little dembo up in here.
But there's a clip. It's on our Twitter. It's on all our socials and stuff. Becky G on the show on Thursday, 7 p.m. And you can listen to the podcast on Friday. But holy smokes, it's incredible. We had a great, great conversation. Valentine's Day stuff. We talked about music. It was great.
Paolo Nelson said, how about El Beta?
Okay. That's what I am, all right? Okay. Nobody's taking that from me.
Harry Gooder said, I wouldn't mention the Power Rangers. What happened? Did they storm the Capitol or something?
Wait.
What happened?
Who asked that? What was the question?
Bay Area Guna said, I wouldn't mention the Power Rangers.
Oh, I don't know. What happened to the Power Rangers?
I don't know.
Did they get canceled? What happened?
Wait a minute. Are y'all going to bring up Faruko retiring and going Christian? Is that true?
I didn't know that. Faruko.
Bro.
Damn, you better enjoy the music while it's around. He's going to be like Mace, dude.
Oh. He clearly must have gotten, Faruko has retired and will now be preaching at concerts. I'm fulfilling my commitments to God. Well, there goes your ticket sales, buddy.
You know, because honestly, God don't slap as hard as, you know, some reggaeton, I'll be honest.
No. Dude, Faruko.
Christian Sanchez said, missed opportunity to wear your pijama during that interview, which is a very popular Becky G song. All right. Well done.
Boom, boom.
Shouts to all you. So make sure you check out that interview and, again, share it with all your friends. All right. All right. So let's start today. We just saw Champions League. Obviously, there were two UEFA Champions League. There were two matches, one between PSG and Real Madrid, the other between Manchester City and
I don't know how you could talk about anything involving sports knowing that Faruko's about to retire. This information
you threw me for a loop. This is gonna be a tough hour to get through.
He gotta owe people some money if he's doing that. That's the only reason you do that.
So the
speaking of owing people money, Real Madrid, huh?
So PSG wins this 1-0 in the
last second. Somebody said it was a boring match. I did not think so. I thought this was back and forth.
It was 100% one of the most boring matches. And we have to address. We'll talk about it a little bit later because
Messi missed a penalty. Which there were shots all over the place. What are we talking about?
Real Madrid didn't even show up to play. It was the
bro.
We talked about this last year. Remember last year, last Champions League, it was Juve against Benfica, right? They lost in extra time. Remember, because the away goal rule still carried to extra time, and everybody was upset, like because Juve. They played so well. They probably, you know, Juve should have moved on, but because of the away goal rule, they did not. And then everyone was so upset. UEFA, it forced UEFA to change the rule, and now here we are, no away goal rule. And why Real Madrid? They barely possessed the ball. They had no interest in holding on to the ball. They were just hoping for some counter. It was one of the most boring games. And I told you. I told you so. I said last year, I said if they remove the away goal rule, the first game ain't going to mean shit.
It's going to suck.
It's not going to mean shit. And Raul played with that in mind. Let's not give up a goal because we do not need one right now.
No. But that said, they had to, it took to the last second of the match for them to be beaten. That's still a pretty good, I mean, you know, those odds for that tactic are pretty good then.
It is, but obviously it's the least entertaining form of this tournament by doing this. Mm-hmm. This is,
I mean, that if you're going to do this, then don't have the home and away. If you're not going to do an away goal, don't do home and away. Do whoever the highest seed it is, you played in their house, single game elimination. Let's go. But God forbid, TV contracts, ticket sales, people would go ballistic.
It, Bayer Aguna said Real Madrid didn't even try. Right. PSG looked like they were playing like a bottom of the table league.
It was like a
team.
Training session.
It was a joke.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the match.
I mean, I enjoyed the kind of fun moments. Messi missing the penalty, Mbappe getting that goal. I thought Verratti was man of the match. He was. I don't know this dude. I thought he was like a small dude. You saw what he bumped off Luka Modric. Like he might as well.
Luka's a tiny guy though.
He might as well have mushed Luka Modric off the ball. It was like he couldn't. No one could touch him. He was incredible during that game. But the
Luka's a tiny, tiny dude though.
But the fact that you know. That's not what Real Madrid should look like. I don't care who they're playing against. How much possession did they even have? It was embarrassing. They are not that bad of a team. They tactically decided let's not try to dominate the game. Let's not try to hold on to the ball that much. Where can I see the here? 57% to 43%.
Ugh,
that's Real Madrid. Bro, their midfield, they got some midfielders. Toni Kroos, Luka Modric.
Three shots to 21.
This is a joke. This should not look like this. And because they have, this is the problem. They have no incentive to score in the game, in the first leg of a two-leg series. Why?
But they certainly don't have an incentive to try, because if you put yourself out there, you limit the amount of people that are defending, right? You expose yourself a bit.
Yeah.
That's the real danger.
Well, the danger is there's a bigger danger for the home team. The home team has that urgency to defend, but the away team has an urgency to score. So that's where I'm.
You're talking about if there was an away goal.
Exactly.
Now that's not.
This should be more even, don't you think? Don't you think Real Madrid should have more shots if they had a bigger incentive to score? Because even if they lose this game, it's not the end of the world. They still go back at home. You know, they win 2-1 or 2-0 or whatever, and they're fine.
Yeah,
but it was not a good game. Not great. Carlos Sanchez said, beat them at the Bernabeu. Rambling Runoff said the score doesn't reflect what happened on the field. I agree, but I don't know that argument. Who is it in favor of? Real Madrid were still bad.
They were in the 65th minute. The XG for PSG. There's a lot. There's a lot of letters that I just said there. The expected goals for Paris Saint-Germain was 1.79. Something like that. And I text my buddy, Pavone, who we both know, who's a big sports gambler. And I text him. I'm like, dude, PSG's going to score. You don't have the PSG of a PSG. You don't have the XG of 1.79.
Gam is playing Tam.
You know what? I'm retiring. I'm going with Farruko. We're going to go.
Okay.
City to city talking about Jesus.
Jesus is the only way, folks.
Yeah, I don't care about your XG. I care about your XG's. You recall it was 1.79. I text him. I'm like, dude, they're going to score. You can't not score when you have an XG of 1.79. That means you're doing everything in your power to score.
But PSG is a good team. Are you sure? They're not 21 shots to 3 shots better than Real Madrid. There's no way. They just clearly was not the priority was not, you know, to score. That is just obvious. It was to not give up a goal, and we'll be fine at home. We'll take the risks at home.
And so, look, we made a reel / TikTok about it. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok. But if you're Mbappe, what are you doing scoring that last goal? These guys just offered you 800,000. Why don't you take it easy? 800,000 pounds a week, my guy. That's $1 million a week. Relax. Let somebody else beat them, you know?
Yeah, essentially by not allowing Real Madrid to move on, that's affecting your own pocket. You know what I mean?
So, bruh. In fact, who cares what happens to the team of the shirt you're wearing, you know?
Mbappe,
what do you want? You want to win Pochettino a Champions League? Do you care?
Mbappe did play really well. He was taking a lot of chances. But like I said, I think Verratti was the best player on the pitch today. The Messi, you know, we're all obviously always watching Messi. I don't know if it's, maybe I didn't watch him as closely in Barcelona or in the last couple years. And people do make this comment about Messi, about that he doesn't really need to move around a lot. Like he doesn't need to really run everywhere because he's kind of a facilitator and he draws so much interest from defenders. But I don't know exactly how they have him playing. I don't know what the plan is because Messi, there's about probably, I would say realistically about 20 minutes of the game, and maybe I don't even feel like I'm exaggerating. I feel like for about 20 minutes of a football match, Lionel Messi is actually paralyzed and not moving. Like literally doing nothing. And it looks jarring because it's like, bro, you're like the best in the world. Why aren't you like making it like, you know, even if you are show up to a job you don't like, you kind of go through the motions of like,
see if you can find this. See if you can find this heat map because it might just be a dot. Like it might just be a red dot.
I don't know where
it might look like a sniper is taking care of it. But I know exactly what you're talking about because there are moments where I'm like, what is Pochettino telling them with regard to Messi? Because when Messi was at Barcelona, you kind of knew why he was where he was. You kind of thought, well, it's the other player's fault if they're not getting into the space, if they're not making themselves available, because it was like a system. And I'm not seeing that when I watch PSG play. I'm kind of thinking like, does Mbappe not want, I mean, does Messi not want to be here or something?
He really looks, right? He looks just unhappy. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, there's no argument that, you know, he's touching the ball more at Barcelona. He is actively, you know, there's more chemistry. Barcelona's system is clearly about, you know, just everybody kind of getting touches. Everybody, there's just a lot of movement. And PSG mm-hmm. just doesn't play that way. PSG, I mean, even when we were in Paris and got to see them, they are a flashy team. And realistically, Messi is not a flashy player. He really does not. He's not backheeling this.
Rambling Runoff said Messi is a methodical player.
Yeah. So,
which that might be the case, but when you've got Neymar and Mbappe doing wind sprints around you, it looks bad.
Yes, it looks like somebody's really not, you know, putting in the effort of the other two, you know, spikes on the trident, as they say.
Right.
And it's not even about like that love, you know, criticizing him that much. It just looks a little bit jarring because I'm watching him and you want some Messi magic where it's Champions League. I want to see an exciting game, and it's tough when you know Real Madrid are defending and have no interest in scoring, right? They're not putting bodies forward. But I thought he had a pretty bad game. I thought Messi played fairly poorly.
What I saw from him was he was sort of attempting to get into dangerous spaces. He was drawing a bunch of defenders, but we've already talked about that. Everyone wearing white was defending. You know, someone said they did a 10-1 formation. I don't know who said that. if you look at it for what that offers you, I think he played fine. I think it goes back to what we saw when we were at Paris and we were like, yo, this is Neymar's team. And I think you saw when Neymar came in, they kicked it into a different gear. And I don't know if it's just his the familiarity with them playing with Neymar or if it's something that we don't know about that is stopping Messi from playing better. I didn't see that he played terrible. I thought he was trying his hardest to incorporate the other players, get into dangerous spaces and do those things. And again, he was drawing a bunch of defenders. But dude, when Neymar came in, it seemed like everything started to click a little better.
Maybe.
And I, you know, that's what to me adds a little bit of fuel to the fire that, you know, Messi's not the right guy or he wasn't trying hard enough or yada, yada, yada.
I didn't expect too much from Neymar. Obviously, it's his first game back after that that injury that he had a couple months ago where his ankle was just destroyed from getting stepped on. But I thought he did okay. I guess there's something especially about Neymar. He did that. I think he did like a back heel at that, and he like gave the ball away. And it's like, bro, you haven't been back. This is your first time back in months. Champions League is obviously a lot on the line here. You clearly want to win this game, and he's
he knows his sauce.
He's like, I ain't changing for anybody, okay? Rust? Nah, I never heard of it.
I'm sorry, he didn't come to the club to two-step. My guy is going dance, you okay? Feel me?
1-2 passes, you know, fundamentals? No. I don't, not in my vocabulary. Never heard of those.
Why don't you let Kimpembe handle the fundamentals? I'm going to be out here swaggy. So, rambling runoff said something that I think is super important. And this is just something that's just good advice. I mean, I'm surprised he put it in this chat. He said, I agree with Alexis. And think about just the impact that statement makes.
Brave.
It's almost good enough to live your life off of.
You might, really. Rambling runoff, you might be the first I've ever said that.
And you know what?
Air horn for any time somebody agrees with Alexis, which is the first time I've ever used that button for that reason. Okay. So the other game was
wisdom that man has.
Sporting Club Portugal against Manchester City, and this
was. Why are we even talking about this? This was.
It's just the other game. We have to at least address it. It was.
Bruh.
Pretty embarrassing. 5-0 at home, lost to Manchester City, which is, look, a lot of teams lose to Manchester City. It's not something we're unfamiliar with, but.
No. You ain't alone. You know, you took a big old L, though. I will say this. I know away goals don't matter. So next week, you have to just beat them on aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
But or the next match. But I want you to say, so 5-0 against Sporting. Clearly, they're not that worried about the Sporting's return, the return match against Sporting. But I want you to click on Manchester City for me.
Okay, just on.
I want you to see who is their next opponent in Premier League.
In the Premier League, next match. Oh, Tottenham.
Mm-hmm. And it's at the Etihad. So that means Manchester City could focus all their attention on Tottenham away, you know, or for Tottenham, it's an away match. It's just, you know, just, it's, I feel like spring is coming, you know?
There's not much, too much to say about this game, but they're absolutely dominant. The biggest surprise of that game, did you see the Raheem Sterling goal?
No, I did not.
From outside the box, the dude hit 25 yards out. Banger, a curler. It was unbelievable. He's like, Raheem Sterling only works in the 6-yard box and hits it over the bar. You know what I mean? That's his his wheelhouse.
My guy's like, I'm here to kill a couple birds. You feel me? I'm here to score from close range.
But it was an incredible goal, man. He's having a killer season so far.
It is like sniping somebody with a pistol, you know? I don't know how you did it, but you did it. I think Sporting Kansas City could have done better. Rambling right off. City beat them being, oh, that's right. That was Cristiano Ronaldo's boyhood club.
Right. The
look at that.
The other round of matches in the round of 16, tomorrow will be Inter Milan and Liverpool, and then RB Salzburg against Bayern Munich, which should be a fun one. Brendan Aaronson probably starting, which is, that's why Salzburg didn't want to give him up. They didn't want to sell him to Leeds. because of this match. So I'm expecting the USMNT winger to do some damage at Bayern.
I just want you to know, we've got more inspiration in the chat. This is crazy. Michael Raymond, I mean, this is almost poetry. He said, I too agree with Alexis.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Are we really? Is this what we're doing? Wow.
Wow. Also, I like Bay Area Guna's comment, which is Tottenham's form recently has been perfect. And I know if you're a Tottenham fan listening to this or watching this, you're thinking, well, that can't be true. Bay Area Guna. Okay.
I love it. I just Guna. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's an AH. Bay Area Guna. Guna, son. I ain't no Tottenham fan, is what it should have said.
Right. So, I mean, we can, let's talk some Premier League, right? So,
let's talk it because it's in the title. Let's give it a chat.
So,
what do you think? You know what? I'll let you start because I want to talk about the top four, but. Why don't you talk about, very quickly, very briefly, how do you feel about Everton's last match?
Right. So we put out the documentary. Let's rewind and tell the story. We go, December 6th is the match between Everton and Arsenal. We film a whole thing.
Which they're in a six-game losing streak?
Not losing, but at least, not winning, right?
Unbeaten.
They had just lost to Liverpool badly. I think it was, 4-5-1 or 5-2 or something like that. It was a bad result. Then we arrive. We film the whole thing. Everton wins a game. It was unbelievable that they turned things around. And then
really unbelievable.
We're editing the whole documentary. We are told from Everton Football Club, they're like, hey, great job so far. Hey, just want to let you know, you should really put it out when the team is doing a little bit better. It'll just be...
And we're like, well, why would you put that asterisk on it? And by the way, while you're talking, Jamal London said, RB Salzburg getting put in a spliff. He really is from London.
Oh, is that bad? I don't know.
Yeah. Damn. Them boys about to get smoked, I think is what he's trying to say.
So the Everton, they say, hey, you should just wait till they get a better result. And then that's when you should release the documentary. So we're like, no problem. They'll win in a couple weeks. And you know, we had the documentary done maybe like four.
And we're like, hey, we need time to edit this bad boy anyway.
It's okay? All good. All right. And they haven't been, as we're editing, they haven't been winning. And we're like, nothing to worry about. This is
they must be waiting for us to finish the editing.
And, and then we have it ready. And we're like, yo. This is ready to go. We just got to hit post and we're ready. And
done.
And we had plans. We were like, all right, this game, they're going to win this game. So, or at least draw.
The big one was Norwich. The big one was Norwich. They gotta win this one.
Worst team in the league. We were absolutely confident that this was good. This was the time we were going to release it. It was written in the stars. They end up losing 2-1 to Norwich after a brace. I think 3-1 after a brace from Josh Sargent. So et tu, Brute. You know what I mean? So. And then
his first two goals of the season, by the way.
And then we got to a point where we were like, this is taking too long, man. They lose to Newcastle, and we're like, we got to put this out. We're building too much hype, and we need to do something to revitalize and rejuvenate this club. We release it February 11th, which is also my fiance's birthday, is my gift to her, right? And then they win.
Here's that 2 weeks I was away from you.
And then they win their match against Leeds. 3-0.
Yep, I've seen that. Now, mind you, they lost to Newcastle and another team. So they lost to the team below them in the relegation battle. You got to beat the team above you in the relegation battle,
right?
Which seems like it would be harder to do than beat the team below you. But it's Everton, and they're never going to take the easy way out. But look, we're there. They win in the middle of a winless streak. Thank you very much, Rambling Runoff. I always forget how to say that. Winless streak, right? They win because we're there. They don't win until we drop. And we just said, you know what? Screw it. We got to drop this thing. We drop it. They win. I mean, if anything, because of us.
Look, that's it. I mean, they're do you need more evidence? We have all the evidence we need, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. That's it.
Yeah, bang the gavel, my G.
Case closed. But what a game. Everton, let's the some of the starters, right? Donny Van de Beek.
Oh, we don't have to go in through all this.
No, no,
let's
no.
Let's talk about the
No.
Let's go Donny Van de Beek.
Donny Van de Beek, but man of the match, your boy, yeah. Iwobi. Iwobi was a beast.
How?
The Arsenal legend.
Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Did Frank Lampard just unlock Iwobi?
Okay. The Niger legend. All right, bro. This dude,
Super Eagle,
was incredible. The dude was playing like he did some hold up play. He's like he's you know played more, especially at Arsenal. He was like connecting guy, like kind of a winger. Kind of use some pace. I don't know what. Iwobi's pace is gone. He's not running fast anymore. He has no interest in doing that. But he was
Jamal London said, LOL, nah, Everton are jammy as fuck. But he said, Iwobi played like Ronaldinho, to be honest. what a sharp turn of the wheel there, Jamal.
Bro, it's week after week, Everton fans are like, get this man out of my club. We don't need him. Why is he here? And then he shows up and was incredible. I don't know.
This whole time I'm thinking Arsenal fleeced y'all for this dude. But he starts, he never shows out. And whoa, watching this match, I was like, is there a bonus attached to his contract or something? My guy is balling out of control.
Frank Lampard, I don't know what Frank told him, but the confidence is clearly something different. Bro.
Joe Whitlock said it. Look, he said, best Iwobi game I've ever seen. And I watched every Arsenal appearance. Bruh, so did I. He played better than he plays for Nigeria, which is typically where he plays best. Jamal said it will be more like it will be in you.
Very appropriate. But he had a great game, and Donny Van de Beek was great too, man. Look, I've been screaming at you at this chat for weeks about fix this midfield. And I'll be honest, I did not think Donny Van de Beek, because you know, from the limited amount of times I saw him at Manchester United, which even Manchester United fans saw him a little bit.
You can't rate him for his Manchester United stint. You can't.
But
this dude, people forget this dude was like one of the top prospects in the world when he went there.
Yeah.
And the idea that he can't handle the speed and pace of the Premier League, and there is no more speed and pace than Leeds United that he's going to go up against.
Yeah.
And he looked incredible. He looked like he had years under his belt playing in this league. And I hate that idea that these superstars can't come from other leagues and play well here. There's something. Frank Lampard, I don't think, had a great end to his Chelsea run as manager. There was a lot of questions being asked. He did better the year before when there was no transfer window and he had nothing but young players. He did incredibly well. And because of that, I look at that and say, he can instill confidence. I mean, Jack Harrison, speaking of Leeds, when he played at New York City Football Club with Frank Lampard, he talked about how Frank Lampard was, you know, instrumental in him giving him the belief that he could get back to Europe and play well. And he belonged there. He's clearly really good at doing this. And I even said, people were like, yeah, but nah, Donny hasn't played in a while. Dele Alli's on the outs. I was like, yo, Frank is going to fix that.
Yeah.
Frank can get these players playing better. And I don't need any more proof than Iwobi was man of the match. Iwobi would struggle to be man of the match in a game he played by himself.
The joke I would have made is Iwobi would struggle to be man of the match in a women's game.
it's ridiculous. Can we cut that? Don't clip that.
That's kind of funny. Pretty good
joke. Dear editor, do not clip that.
Anyway, an incredible, a desperately needed 3 points for Everton. And probably the worst part of the weekend for Everton was that Newcastle also won. A loss or a draw to Aston Villa would have widened that gap a little bit more. But the one, you know, we mentioned Dele Alli. He's the one that I feel like is not, you know, from obviously this is really his first, you know, real minutes. Oh, well, he played against Newcastle as well. But he, I don't, in the times I've seen him so far, he's the one that I think is really rusty and really needs to figure out how to like fit himself into the team. He did have an incredible pass to Solomon Rondon, of all people, a curling ball to the almost to like the penalty spot, put it right on Solomon Rondon's feet. And he hit it out of the air volley. And then the Meslier, right, the keeper, he ends up saving it. But it was
Meslier,
unbelievable pass from Dele Alli. But in general, he has
skill. His confidence is completely shot. And I just want to point out two things. Crimson Pizza put Donnie and Man United was like all the immigrants that came to the U.S. and were doctors and engineers in their countries and ended up working as janitors. That was Donnie Vanderbeek at United. 100% true. It's like when Uber first started, it'd be like a dude. He's like, you know, I'm a surgeon in my country, right? And you're like an Uber driver. It's like how difficult it is to make it here. But also Jamal London, I need you to speak directly to this man, Christian, because he said Everton have a lot of bums in their team and they bought more bums in January. They need to copy the Arsenal model and pay a lot of them out of their contracts. Bro, they just started winning again.
Thank you for your contribution. I appreciate it. You know what? I don't strongly disagree with you, but there's a bit of a, you know, Everton is its own like monster and its own issues. Obviously, they have this wildly passionate fan base. They have all this history, and you know they expect competence. That's really all it is. We're like Everton fans are just the bar has gotten so low. We're just like, can we just get a club that is just run mildly, like some of the other modern clubs?
A little professionalism goes a long way. But you know. Look, Everton have a desire to stay up. They've spent $500 million in the last 5 years. They have a massive stadium coming up. It would be like, it would be a debacle of the greatest debacles, a complete collapse if they were to not stay up, if they were to get relegated.
Yeah.
And I honestly think of all the managers they could have brought in, Lampard is probably the guy to keep you up. I don't know how long he's going to be there next year, but he's the guy to keep you up. And he's the guy to get players like Dele Alli and Donny van der Beek. And apparently it will be at the top of their game.
I love this. Jamal London said, I think the bottom three stays as it is. Burnley has to go. I'm reading it as Jamal London. Burnley has to go, fam. Okay. The whole institution is anti-football. The stadium turf.
What? Nah, fam. The whole institution is anti-football.
The stadium turf more, man. I hate Burnley, man. I hope they get relegated. I don't disagree with you there. Burnley are not a fun team to watch.
He sounds like Lippy. No, he was like, I remember when the Super League thing started, Lippy's like, no, I want it, man. He's like, I want it. He's like, I don't want to go to Turf Moor. He's like, there's no reason we shouldn't be going Burnley, man. Nick, Lampard was definitely better than Chris Armas, said Nick Red. The hate this man has in it, everywhere he goes.
Okay,
so
obviously big win for Everton, and go watch our documentary on this YouTube channel right now if you have not seen it, please.
It's okay. The reason they. Besides, you know, Frank Lampard and all the players.
Okay. Yeah. Give us that credit.
Let's talk about top four, because I'd love to find out that Jamal isn't even a Liverpool fan and he just hates Everton. That's what I'd love to find out next.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I do want to talk about the top four, but I had the expectation. We were talking about Tottenham. I thought Tottenham this week would be in the top four because they have currently three games in hand. They had like four games in hand.
They're even with us as far as match played.
But they're an interesting team because they had matches in hand and they are worse than in a worse position than they were three matches ago. So they lost to Wolves. I saw that game. They lost to Southampton, and then they lost to Chelsea. I mean, we don't. I mean,
you could you could repeat that
outside of just your
whisper in my ear if you want.
Outside of you simply enjoying the fact that they are not winning, what do you think is actually wrong with Tottenham? Outside of the obvious thing, I know the joke you're going to make that they're just Tottenham and blah blah shit and blah blah blah. Outside of that, why can't Conte get some decent results out of this team? It's a fairly decent squad.
People have mentioned since Conte came in that Conte is a winner and that he would be able to get Real Madrid, hilarious. they would be able to get Tottenham, you know, sort of banging on all cylinders and fix them and get them going in the right direction, which is up the, you know, up the table. And look, they went on a run. I believe they went the first eight in the Premier League. He went undefeated and it was looking good. But this is Tottenham, and it's not just me making fun of Tottenham being Tottenham. This is the players they have. They can't do what Conte wants. The little bit of hope they have is that Son and Kane somehow save them every time, or, you know, Bergwijn can stay onside in the last 3 minutes of a match and continue to score, because the guy's clearly got a nose for goal at the end of the match. Jamal says he's an Arsenal fan. There we go, Jamal. One of my own, baby. Whatchamacallit? Tottenham, they need a complete roster rebuild. Harry Kane should have been sold. You probably wouldn't be doing worse than you're doing now, but you'd have $100 million in your pocket.
Yeah.
Or £100 million. You'd be way better off, as opposed to bringing someone back into the fold that didn't want to be there. And I honestly think he has been playing incredibly well. He's had moments. He has been playing incredibly well. And there's a sense of people waiting to move on. It feels like they're just waiting for this season to finish so they could all go their separate ways. They don't want to be here. They're not playing for Conte. And Conte is looking at it, and he's saying some really big things in his press conferences. Recently, he said in the last one, after the last loss, he said, you know, I'm used to competing for different things, not, you know, will we finish in the top four?
Yeah.
He's talking about, like, he's like, dude, where I'm from, we're winning trophies. These motherfuckers just want to go fourth. You know what I mean? And I can't even inspire them to go fourth.
They did sign Kulusevski, right? Kulusevski from Juve. And
from Juve.
I thought, like, that's a strong addition. I thought he was
And Betancourt. Betancourt is a big-time scorer.
Yeah.
But again, you know, also, do any of these pieces seem like they fit together?
Maybe
Betancourt should be your star. Why is Harry Kane up there? Why is Son primarily up top? You know, when it's like big moments, he's the one. Jamal said the Spuds are shite. They employ Ben Me and Fuck Me Davis, Colombian PS4, Matt Doherty, not even needed for a nickname. That's how shit Matt Doherty is. Emerson Peasant, as opposed to Royal. Their best midfielder and striker is Harry Kane. Winks, for fuck's sake, he is shit, man. Spurs are bad. I mean, that's 100% true. Each of these players independently would be very good. But together, that just doesn't make sense. Yeah. These ingredients don't go together.
Yeah, Conte has a lot of work to do. But yeah, it's surprising. I mean, they lost to Wolves, and you know, at home, it's just like they were down when the two goals in the 6th minute and the 18th minute, and I'm just like, dead, bro. Yeah, at home. What is this team? I mean, Wolves are not.
Yeah, no, but Wolves boss them. And here's the other thing. If you may not be able to get you may not be able to fix what happened before you got there, if you're Conte, but this has to be a real, like a real bad assessment for this club when you're playing a team that you're competing with for this top four position. You beat Wolves, you're possibly in sixth, fifth, you're competing with Wolves, and you lose to them in your home.
I love this from Brush. He says, ain't nothing royal about Emerson. Damn.
There's a photo in my Arsenal group chat, which is Conte as a contestant on the what's the one where they said, like, we asked 100 Americans what they thought the Family Feud.
Family Feud, yeah.
They have his arm around him, and they said, which we'll call it, you're the most hated royal. And he put Emerson. It's Conte saying Emerson. So when you look at the squad, People are saying this in the chat. Look, Son deserves better. They should have sold Kane and revamped. Harry Kane isn't a bad player. All of these players will do better once they move on. The problem is Tottenham. It's run badly. It's clearly they don't have a plan. I don't think they had a plan for Conte. I think what happened was United wouldn't move on getting rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Conte wanted a gig, and they offered him a ton of money. Let's be serious. Tottenham have to pay that amount of money in order to get someone like Conte in. And now you're looking at it and you realize that he's probably looking in the mirror right now as we speak and thinking, yeah, that was blood money.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be here.
Well, yeah, I expected them to at least be fighting for top four, but it really doesn't look like.
Sean asked a great question, and Michael Raymond. Michael Raymond said their identity is Spurs, which is hilarious. And people said they don't have an. Sean said they don't have an identity. And then Sean asked, what is the brand of football Spurs play? If you ask me what kind of style does Conte play, Conte likes to play compact defensively, you know, hold your position down and then attack when the moment is right, typically on a counter, typically with a false nine if you could play with it, if you have someone that could play that. Have you seen any of those things out of any Tottenham match?
No.
Maybe the counterattacking?
Look, I mean, if you would ask me what the style of play is, you know, get the ball to Harry Kane, get the ball to Son, and watch them like work their magic. That's they are, you know, superstars, and they can change. Yeah. They can change like, you know, any game almost whenever they want. But if teams are focusing on neutralizing them, then they don't really have much of a shot.
Nick Red said their brand is depressing. That's their brand. How do you replace Doherty with Emerson? If there was a Ballon d'Or for worst scouts in the EPL, Spurs would win it. Do you know how hard it is to find someone worse than Doherty? Yo, Jamal's on fire, bro. Ain't it midnight by you, my G? I like this guy. My guy's like, I can't go to bed. I got to shit on Spurs.
So let's
Spurs fighting for that Conference League spot again. Bro, they'd be lucky to finish fifth. They'd be lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so let's talk about the North London rival, because Arsenal did win their game, their match against Wolves.
Yep. Come on now.
How about this?
The club that beat Tottenham away. And like 2 days later, by the way.
Right. And the, who was this? Some people were complaining about that Arsenal was celebrating too hard. Like they won the world. Didn't some, like the goalkeeper? Wolves.
No. Ruben Neves.
Right.
Ruben Neves said he essentially said, it's not lost on us that they won as if they celebrated as if they won the league. We won't forget that. And the reason they're saying that is because we play them again in like a week, you know? So I get why you would say that, but I think it's a stupid, you're down to 10 men again. You know,
right.
And you edge a team that's hard to score against, and you score against them, and you beat them down to 10 men. Yeah, you celebrate that. If there's one thing that everyone who hated Arteta at the beginning, and I feel like a lot of that is softened, but everyone who hated Arteta at the beginning was like, oh, you know, he's going after players and the players don't like him and this and that. Look at how he has them playing. Yeah, it didn't work out with Aubameyang. Sure, it didn't work out with Guendouzi. And yeah, it didn't work out with what's another, one of the other players that he kind of shunned. Ozil. I get that maybe it didn't work out with some of these big name players, but if you want to be there and you want to play hard, he very clearly is the right manager for you. And he has the club as unified as I've seen in a long time. It probably goes back to the Invincible days before I could say we're down to 10 men and I'm not worried that we're going to lose.
Right, you know what I mean? There was something I wanted to bring up. So there was a red card in this game. Oh, yeah. This was the game. Gabriel Martinelli. We didn't get a chance to talk about this. Since obviously
the two yellows.
Can we talk about that? What was your thought on this? Because this was pretty wild. I mean, if you didn't see this play, Gabriel Martinelli is basically at the touchline and clearly fouls, the Wolves player. I forgot who it was, but he kind of pushes him while he's about to do the throw in. And so you understand, like, you know, he's trying to slow the game down. Then he catches up to where the ball is and where the player that has the ball is and fouls him during kind of run of play. And it's kind of an attacking chance. So ref was going to give a yellow card for the initial foul. But then when Martinelli fouled again, gave him a second yellow immediately. So he gets sent off. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I saw a lot of people reacting to it. But this is pretty wild. You really have to be...
Arteta said it. You have to want to give that red.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's like, I understand...
I'm not saying you, they're both, look, are they both yellows? What do you think?
I would have been fine with the first one not being a yellow. I thought the first one was iffy. The second one, definite yellow.
See, I'm the opposite. I think the first one is very obvious because everyone's looking at the ball thrower at that moment.
Uh-huh.
And you push him while he's in the middle of the motion. So, and obviously he goes down. That very clearly to me, if you're going to give a yellow, that's where you give it. But you got to sit there and say, the second foul after that, you warn that man. You say, hey, one more and you're out of this. You can't all of a sudden yellow, get out of here. To me, that was very clearly something must have happened before that we're not aware of where the ref had told him, like, hey, yo, fam, you don't get many more of these. Because for to back to back, I've never seen that before in my life. And at this point, they even asked Arteta, like, what do you do about all these red cards? And he's like, well, I have no ideas. I don't know how to stop it. I mean, one is get rid of Shaka, but a player like this, a young player making two stupid decisions, none of which dangerous, and right. getting red for it. I sit back and I'm like, yo, then are they against us? And when you see fans are like, oh, they want to give us reds and they don't like us and blah blah. And I'm always like, dude, it ain't that serious. They're just doing their job. But when you see this, you're like, well, all right, I see where you're getting this evidence from.
It did seem pretty ridiculous. I mean, you got to let one go, right? I mean, even as like, if you're a ref and you're just like, I just want to see 11 on 11, at the very least, unless something, like nobody would have been mad at the ref if he didn't give that second, that other yellow. I didn't understand why he felt like he needed to give it. And he, you know, he was pointing at Martinelli. He pointed back at the location of the original foul. Even so this is what I was thinking. Like if the ref has to like scream at Martinelli, I don't care where he is on the pitch, be like, yo, that's a yellow back there. Don't do anything.
You can't
let him get another yellow. Like at that point,
you know what?
It's your fault.
If you're the captain, you've got to crowd the official so that he can't even see Martinelli and give him a chance to cool down. Barry Gunnar said, I remember when everyone said Arsenal was soft. Now look at us, a red card an hour. Yeah, that's right, baby. We're the gulliest in the Premier League. You feel me? That ref is a Wolves transplant, said Michael Raymond. Jamal said, honestly, I was at the game and the ref crumbled under pressure. He was getting heat from the Wolves fans because he was wasting time and shit like that. And honestly, the refs are always fucking us over. Again, it's all over my group chat. It's all over every post that, you know, Arsenal Fan TV has posted about this. You see it everywhere where Arsenal fans are talking. They're saying that the refs are against us. And there's no way I could ever tell them that that's not true because there's so much proof. We've gotten more red cards that we've scored. We've got more red cards this year in 2022 than we've scored goals.
Yeah.
How insane is that?
Just incredible. Robert from Malaysia, Christian, it happened in the Champions League last year when an Ajax player got those two quick fouls during a play. Ajax Chelsea. I don't remember that. I don't remember that either.
How do you get a yellow for wasting in the 60th minute? And Joe Whitlock said, the state of things is my friend, also an Arsenal fan, texted to ask which minute the red is coming and is it Shaka or Gabriel? I was thinking the same thing.
Well, it's usually Gabriel Magalhaes, not Martinelli. So it was a nice little
at least it was a Gabriel.
Okay, you ain't wrong there. So the
these damn Brazilians out here getting red.
Okay. So the we'll take a quick look. I mean, the table hasn't really moved that much, except for Manchester United going into fourth today as we record this because they won their match against Brighton.
Right. But keep in mind the matches played. That is, West Ham and Manchester United both have played 25 mm-hmm. and sit in fourth and fifth with 43 and 41 points. But if you look at Arsenal, 22 games played, so that's three in hand at this point. When we're talking about finishing in the top four, you're at 39. I'm gonna present you with two of the biggest ifs, two of the largest, most ridiculous ifs you've ever seen in your life. Okay, if Arsenal were to win the three matches they have in hand, that would add 8-9 points, so they'd be at 48, which would put them at third, potentially fourth, third with Chelsea with 24. So if they were to, let's say, just draw the next, but no, because they have 30 goal differential. If Chelsea loses the next match and Arsenal were to win the next, the three that they had in hand, that would put them in competition for third place, or in contention for third place. And that's the only reason I'm bringing it up. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't believe that will happen. The point I'm trying to make is Arsenal had a horrific start to the season. It looked like it was going to go down bad. And I'm not the first to say this, but the only reason Arsenal don't finish in the top four, or at least in fourth place, is because of Arsenal. That's going to be the only thing stopping Arsenal from finishing in top four, because there are 22 games played with 39 points, pretty healthy goal differential at 9. Certainly not one of the top three. They're 30, 42, and 47 goal differential. But when we're talking about Arsenal, West Ham, Manchester United, Wolves, Tottenham, really 11 is the best. West Ham is at 8 goal differential and Arsenal's at 9. That's enough to compete. That's enough to make me think we have the ability to finish in top four, possibly even top three if Chelsea were to slip up even a little bit, which they may with the whole Lukaku saga. I mean, when I look at this, I sit here and say, every Arsenal fan that was Arteta out, every Arsenal fan that thought, you know, him and Adu couldn't put it together. Since the beginning of the season, I've been saying, everybody just wait. Let's get back our best players, or let's bring in Tomiyasu, Nuno Tavares, Sambi Lokonga. When we were buying these players, I said, let's bring in these players. Let's get in Ben White. Let's get in Tomiyasu. Let's see what they can do. Let's see if Arteta, when given his ingredients, he can cook. Look, I'm just as mad as everyone else about what's going on with the front three. I wish we had a striker. If we had a striker, I would tell you with confidence that, yeah, we will finish in fourth place with no problem. And I do believe we will finish in fourth, but I'm a little less confident because I also do worry where those goals are going to come from. That said, we've got to give this man a hand for taking the youngest team in the Premier League on average by a lot and having them in sixth place with a direct line to fourth or third. That's insane.
Right. I want to mention a couple of people in the chat because everybody's saying, Brush just said, but the games in hand for Arsenal are Chelsea, Liverpool, and Spurs. I see no more than 4 points from those for you guys. Nick Red said, Alexis, quote, if everything I want to happen happens, it will be good. Yeah, you got to go with lots of optimism.
I didn't say I guarantee it'll happen. All I'm saying is you have to look at that. Look at that math. And see and ask yourself, did you think we'd be this far? I got laughed at when I said Arsenal would finish sixth. Laughed at. We have a chance to finish fourth easily. And if everything goes the way I want, third. Are you out of your mind?
Let's look at our before.
Don't you remember when Tottenham was in first place and Arsenal was last? And now they're in eighth.
I only remember when Everton was in first, okay? That was they should have ended the season right there. Champions.
Joe Whitlock said Alexis my boy, but no way he said bring in Tomiyasu. Did I not give respect to Tomiyasu when he got signed?
I don't remember, but he's been decent.
Look, he's better than I thought he would be, but I was like, yo, if they believe in this guy, I believe in that guy. And a lot of that was because the British dude who was like, Real Madrid ain't trying to buy him. Barcelona isn't trying to buy him. Why are we bringing this guy in? He must suck. And now he's great. I forget who he was.
Speaking of British dudes saying ridiculous things, did you see the tweet from Piers Morgan tweeted it, but Gary. I
mean, first of all, who cares? Not Piers Morgan.
Best Arsenal fan. Okay, that's all I know. Biggest Arsenal fan, Piers Morgan. Every Arsenal fan loves him. That's all I know.
Yeah. So much cap, you should open up a lids.
But apparently, Piers Morgan tweeted this, and this led to a lot of controversy. A lot of people are mad at him, but he goes. It's a picture of Odell Beckham Jr. And Piers Morgan tweets, great to watch a Beckham who can actually play football, hashtag Super Bowl. And then Gary Lineker claps back and he says, you might dislike him for whatever reason, but David Beckham was a great footballer, one of our finest. Okay, look it. I love you hate to see this Brit on Brit crime. Okay. I don't know why can't they support each other, man?
There's blood and crumpets everywhere.
Brett said, don't pay attention to anything Pierce says. Didn't you guys run him out of America?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. The most embarrassing Arsenal supporter behind Osama bin Laden.
Wait, is Osama bin Laden an Arsenal supporter?
You didn't know that?
I did not know that. Man. Yeah. Damn.
Oh, sorry. Was.
Oh, and America fixed that problem, okay?
Obama fixed that.
Sorted, okay?
Watch it back, Pierce.
Yo, Bilal, I don't think... you ain't got that cable package anymore that have those, that has those Premier League games. I can't help you with that.
Nah, you might want to sell your season tickets. I don't think you're going to be needing them. Yes, we can.
Bruh, so I don't even know if this is
did you see the tweet that Piers put before this?
I didn't. Which one?
Piers Morgan said something about David Beckham being like the most overrated player in Premier League history. He was nothing but free kicks and stupid haircuts, and he said that if it wasn't for the great players around him, no one would even know who he was. Something to that degree. I'm not going to sit here through Piers Morgan's tweets.
Look, that's such a wild thing to say. It's David Beckham. I mean, they made a damn movie about him.
The man has, what, four statues around the world of him? Also, universally beloved. Players that he scored against love him, and you are the only person who dislikes him.
It's kind of incredible. I mean, I can understand, you know, for someone even who was like very flashy, fashion, the whole thing. We know modeling, the Calvin Klein ads, like, I get that. But then he did all of that stuff, and then on top of that was an absolute baller with nothing but highlights. That dude like rarely had like a terrible game until he got a little bit older and stuff like that. But he was.
But also, look, Jamal said David Beckham is slightly overrated. To be honest, I'll accept slightly overrated because he was put on a god level, and maybe he wasn't that good of a player with the buzz that he had. But to say he was nothing but free kicks and stupid haircuts. Wild. And if it wasn't for the great players around him, no one would know who he was.
And then also. Look, I'll be honest, because, you know, Piers, you can't talk about our friend David Beckham like that. All right, bro?
Also, my father, he's going to adopt me. Don't y'all remember?
That is our boy.
I asked David Beckham to adopt me.
That's our boy.
You have a kid named Brooklyn Beckham. I want to be the Bronx Beckham.
So you can't be doing this, bro, because that is our homie. That dude is, you know... Obviously, a British legend with a statue in Los Angeles. Okay, the guy is respected on both sides of the pond. You know what I'm saying? So that's really what ticked me off, bro. Ridiculous,
bro. Dylan said, "Wait till the day Pierce drops the I agree with Alexis." You know what? Again, I'm gonna go with Faruco on that one, bro. We're gonna be touring Puerto Rico talking about Jesus.
Look, how many people can say they made David Beckham smile? Look at that.
Look at how much he's laughing. Because I said something stupid.
We did that.
Remember at the end of his interview where he spoke to the handler that was you could see a woman just to his right. That's his handler. He leaned over to her while we're this distance from him and said, could you tell him they were very funny? And then she took a baby step forward and said, Mr. Beckham thinks you're very funny. And we're like, yeah, we heard him.
Yeah. All right. Brush just said, totally a legend. All around nice guy too. Captain England and dragged them into the O2 World Cup. Firsthand experience, David Beckham is one of the nicest people you will ever meet. I thought there would even be a little bit of ego or, you know, famous whatever.
If he has it, he knows how to hide it. Gem.
Warm. I shook his tattooed hand. Beautiful. Lovely right? Man. So
he was off put that I kissed his hand, but you know, it's our culture.
But you know what? Right? You adapt, David. You're in our country right now.
total legend, all around nice guy too. Captain England and dragged them into the O2 World Cup. Well, let me tell you something. I would let David Beckham drag me wherever he wants. All right, I'm going to put it out there, okay? Happily married, very much of a straight man, but you know what? Bex!
You know, we'll make it work somehow. We'll make it work.
You
okay.
know what?
So, all right. So I just want to play a couple things before.
No. We need to find out from you. Who do you think will finish in the top four?
Oh, the top four. I'm going to
right now. It's looking like City, Liverpool. That's not going to change. So they're your top two. And by the way, if you're in the chat, feel free to drop who you think is third and fourth. Cause I don't think, let's just go on the evidence that City and Liverpool aren't going anywhere.
Right. I'm going to say, I think Chelsea does stay in third, but look, I'm gonna. I honestly think who as fourth. I don't think it's gonna be Manchester United. I think okay. I think it's really going to be between Arsenal and West Ham. I think one
so
of
make
those
a
two.
Choice. Why? Hold on. Why West Ham?
West. I mean, they finished fifth last year. And I think they have, you know, they're a pretty solid squad. I mean, I have no reason to think that they can't maintain the kind of run of form that they have. The advantage that Arsenal and Wolves have are those games in hand, but there's no guarantee they're going to get those points. So that's why I think West Ham can actually do it.
I think Chelsea will stay in third. I think they have. Unless there's a major turn of events, a big injury, or Lukaku just decides he doesn't want to play anymore or something major like that, I do think Chelsea finishes in third. In fourth, it's going to be Arsenal, baby.
No, well, big surprise, big shock. I'm glad we got that on record. Nobody knew that was Kevin.
It's going to be Arsenal. And by the way, there's a lot riding on this. I don't know how many of you watch Kicking It on Complex with me and Flex, but I did say that if Arsenal didn't finish fourth, I would eat, because it is on Complex, I would eat the last dab, a wing with the last dab sauce on it, which is the final, right, the hot sauce on the hot ones. And if they did finish fourth, then Flex has to eat it. And Flex doesn't like hot sauce. So I got a lot riding on this, folks. I really need Arsenal to finish fourth so that I don't, you know, poop fire for two days.
If Everton get relegated, I'll eat the last dab. I'll have a last dab.
If who?
If Everton get relegated, I will do the last dab.
But then why would you double up your pain?
I deserve it. Okay.
Yeah. Nick Red said you should have to eat mushy peas.
Oh yeah, you had posted the thing on Instagram of Kanye having the.
I might have been the first.
You were the first I saw do that. But then. We got a. I saw a post from Footy Scran.
Yeah, where they said mushy peas are nice,
and it made me laugh. That was a good one. Where is? Let me see if I can find that tweet. I probably cannot, so I'm not going to spend too much time doing it. Anyway,
Rush87 said, "Oh, we need the Cooligans on Hot Ones. That would be crazy. It would be a lot of me just sitting there talking to Sean Evans while Christian is." Writhing in pain on the floor.
It's good. It'll be entertaining. I'll tell you that much.
People would enjoy it. Christian would not, but people would enjoy it.
Drinking gallons of almond milk. I need to give me more.
I've told this story before, but we did some comics did a run through of the game show that Hot Ones started on True TV, which did not last. For those of you not in this country, Hot Ones became a game show here in the U.S., very short-lived, but they hired comedians to do a run-through of it. I was one of them, and they basically feed you like the hottest, insanely hot wings, and then you have to answer questions while you're doing it. I had something called capsaicin cramps, where your stomach believes it's on fire and starts to actually pump everything inside of it out. Horrifically painful. I collapsed on someone eating dinner outside in New York, just right on their plate and screaming. So ruined that family's dinner. Full flop sweat. Everyone just thought I was high on drugs. I took a Uber home in the dead of winter with the window down. And Alex Pavone said, I look like the Dark Knight, but the fat version, which was hilarious. And then Pavone didn't feel the capsaicin cramps because he didn't eat as much as I did until he got home. And he said it was so bad, he both put ice and a stick of butter on his butthole. And the reason for the butter is because he heard that they were putting dairy on our mouths to stop the burning. Mm. So he had like milkshake on his mouth. I was just drinking a milkshake. I'm like, this is a good milkshake. Because the heat bothers me, but not, it doesn't like take me out, right? I have a very high tolerance. So he had dairy on his face. So he put the dairy on his butthole thinking that would stop the burning. It was insane. I'm telling you, like pure fire. People like, it hurt a little bit, like insane pain. It felt as if like I was just full blood was coming out of my butt for 3 days.
Lovely. Thank you for that image, Alexis.
Yeah. It looked like my pancreas had exploded.
I want to just play this real quick. This was a video I saw on Twitter. This is from @GilTakes. But this is a video of a college classroom. And this is pretty funny because literally everyone in the class is just watching Champions League. This is an American classroom. And everybody,
come on now.
Everybody's watching Champions League on their laptops while the professor is professing. Pretty great.
USA is a soccer country, baby.
We're taking over one classroom at a time. So that was great to see. The other thing I wanted to play is more little gossipy news, because Jordan Pickford of Everton Football Club got into a little scuffle. This seems to happen pretty much every year. He likes to go out to a pub from time to time. Nothing wrong with that, but he gets into,
it's part of his culture.
He seems to get into issues with fans or fights or whatever. And he got into a fight at a pub because...
With everyone. With the whole pub.
Because they were taunting him, and they were saying... I'll play it in a second, but the guy is making fun of Jordan Pickford and his short arms. Apparently, this is a big...
Well, he's teasing him quite a bit. He called him Mr. Butterfingers, and then he starts calling him short arm. So what I love is the edit of the video.
Yeah, so let's play this.
So he's going nuts at a pub. He's screaming woo.
Saying small arms. Clammy hands, butterfingers. And
Here's the thing. Because it's England, pause that for a second. Because it's England, I can't tell, is this playful or are they going after him? And look, our chat is filled with T-Rex arms. He's saying, go on, lad, which I would assume you don't say that to someone you don't like, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, British speak that you sometimes... depending on the context, you're telling someone you love them, or you're about to stab them. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
right.
So
there's the tone is important. You're either cheering for this man to go talk to a girl, or you want him, or you want to fight him. There's only two ways you could use. Go on, lad.
He's saying all this stuff. Yeah, and people call it T-Rex arms. Which is there a particular like image or photo that, because I don't believe that Jordan Pickford's arms are significantly short. I mean, he seems like his arm seems like a normal length. So I don't understand.
Maybe it's because he lets a lot of shots go in the upper 90 or in the top bins.
I don't know. But to go up to a Premier League footballer and just record him and yell at him, I mean, look, I'm not mad at Jordan Pickford here at all. Like,
this is the exact opposite of how New Yorkers act when we see celebrities. We ignore them to the point where they don't like it.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, why isn't anyone talking to me? We don't care about you. The only people that are going to bother you are people from Jersey and Long Island. Those are the only people that are going to bother you. So we don't really bother celebrities. Meanwhile, in England, you get taunted on video.
They're like, yo, make sure you look into the camera while I try to humiliate you. So,
yeah. But, like, you're proving to everyone you know you're shitting on a celebrity.
Yeah.
And who said it? Robert from L.A. said, Pickford is a millionaire, too. Yeah. Don't you have, like, a posh place you can drink where there someone's not going to walk up to you and be like, hey, yo, T-Rex arms.
So, look, you understand. Maybe at a game, on the pitch, you know, goalkeepers have to deal with this. And I think they're generally prepared for it and expect it. But to... Look, and now we're watching him. I mean, the dude, that's it. Pickford went off. He's like, hold me back. Because, look, you can't blame him. How much taunting is he supposed to take? It's ridiculous.
All of it. He's a millionaire. Who cares?
And now, as soon as...
You're going to potentially harm your career by punching this guy and breaking your arm or your hand on his face.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, look, this is not, you know, there's a couple things here.
Hold on, can we... Well, before, can we test something? Michael Raymond said, Google T-Rex and Pickford shows up. Can we test that real quick?
I mean, we use Bing out here, bro.
We'll Bing it. Let's see what pops up.
What is it? Just T-Rex and nothing else? Or is that a joke?
I hope that's true.
T-Rex. I'm just going to look. Bing T-Rex.
Ew, Grandpa, you click on it?
Click
as
what?
As opposed to hitting enter?
I do that sometimes because if I'm not in the right, I'm on OBS, and if I'm in the wrong window, I could shut something off.
Okay. All right. I'll allow it.
I don't see anything. For Bing doesn't. Right.
Maybe it's Bing.
Maybe Bing is just different. So, but again.
Hold on. Tom P, who I think is the first thing he's put, said, I've heard Pickford has reptile dysfunction.
So funny. But look, my issue here is that Jordan Pickford, I believe last year, this has happened a couple times where he gets into fights with people just out in public at pubs. And
heard he's a little bit off his rocker too. I've heard he's a little.
That's my bigger concern. Well, every goalkeeper. I mean, what goalkeeper, you know, the goalkeepers are built a little bit differently than other footballers.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah, yeah,
you don't want to antagonize them like this. So it's like at this point, I'm not even mad at Pickford for like even trying to swing on this dude. It's just, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, how much abuse are you supposed to take before you can actually like do something? And you know, this is serious. As soon as you hear women screaming in a video, that's when you know things have gotten out of hand. When the women start saying, get off him. Like, we've seen this countless times. And it's like, you know, there was something real at stake. But the main thing here is, look, at the very least, Jordan Pickford, I don't know if it's go to the pub less or whatever. I'm not saying he deserves any kind of abuse.
How are you that rich but don't have your own pub you can go to? Like a pub where... Buy a pub.
That's it. That's the solution here.
Bro, also, whatchamacallit? What's his name? Who's the fighter? Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
He owns a pub. You know what happens when he goes in there? A lot of thank you. A lot of, hey, great pub, man. Happy to be here. Gets his own table.
Right.
You know what doesn't happen? If someone starts filming him and going like, Conor McGregor, you got knocked out, that guy does not get to stay at that pub.
That's pretty much, yeah, that's the rule. Look, I'm glad nothing happened. And you know, he's okay. And you know, it's just like, it wouldn't be great to hear another story about a you know, player getting into a fight or getting hurt or whatever. And it's also, it goes back even to the Piers Morgan thing to me, because I was like, this is how you know the English don't give two shits about the English national team, because it's like This dude is your number one. This is your number one keeper. The dude.
They care more about the club.
You were a penalty.
This might have been an Everton fan. This we don't know.
This you were a penalty away from winning the Euros. And the dude is the reason, you know, the national team has been gotten as far as they have. He's an incredible keeper. Yeah, he's playing on a team that's not very good, but the dude makes incredible stops, especially for a team that he has to make a bunch of stops. So it made me think about that. I'm like, there's no respect at all. None. You can't respect this dude. What else does he have to do to not be abused when he just wants to be at a pub? Ridiculous.
Jamal London said, in the UK, if you show any sign of clapback when you get taunted, they just do it more and more. What is the point? Yo, at some point, like, if you and I were to get taunted, I feel like we would clap back so hard they wouldn't be able to, they would have to fight us, right?
To get us to stop, right?
Because, like, yo, if you even try, like, if there's times where, like, in the chat, like, on the Complex show, people go for it, and Flex is like, what are you doing? Because I go off. Like, yeah. We're comedians. You think we've never dealt with hecklers before? Bro, I'm going to rip you apart from the top to bottom. And I don't even need to see you, my G. I'm going to just start making shit up. Like, it's crazy. If I walk in somewhere and they're calling me Butterfingers and shit like that, either I'm going to find a way to make a joke out of it, or that dude's going to be like, I got to cut this guy because there's nothing left.
Pretty wild. Okay. So, all right. I think we should end there. Just go through the chat a little bit. Joe Whitlock.
Scousers don't even support the national team, which we found out when we were in Liverpool.
We did.
They do not consider themselves part of England. They're the Texas of England, right?
They're about to secede, okay? Tom P said, English football is banter over everything. Yeah, man. This is why the national team can't win. Every other national team in the world is like, let's do it for our country. And like, even though even if it's like corny, it's still like, you know, at least it gets everybody on board.
They're inspiring the children. They're beloved.
They're like,
the media in England's like, these lot again. Boy.
It's England is essentially like the football clubs represent like just the different tribes on this piece of land who are always at war. You know what I mean? They can never unite against a common enemy. They just like always.
If you want to know just how crazy it is, like how England treats their national team versus how Americans would treat it, just think about the fact that the Knicks still have fans. Okay.
Right. I mean, look, if there was promotion relegation in the NBA, there'd be very fewer.
I'd be at them high school games being like, let's go Knicks. Let's go Knicks. Knicks in six. We're coming back to the top in 7 years.
Let's go. Okay. Everybody's saying, Brett said the media certainly don't help. But yeah, bro, I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the economy and the media, how it works in England. Y'all seem like everybody hates each other. It makes no sense. Anyway, I mean, even though,
by
like,
the way, y'all the same to us. I know. Like, we're not scousers. They're like, bro, we don't know the difference.
In America, like, yeah, we you know, they have, you know, people are divided on political lines and whatever. And I'm just saying,
no.
For the U.S. men's national team and the U.S. men's and women's national team, we could like shut it off for those 90 minutes let's support. Yeah, it's like, but the English.
Also, think about like the Olympics. You know what I mean? Yeah. People get behind. If you win a medal for England, they're like, yeah, but who do you support? No. I won the 400 meter race. I won gold for this country.
Boy, nobody cares.
You're like Pickford. Boy, I bet you he couldn't win a 400 meter. I don't know. I think I went Australian there for a second.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another Prem Show. We appreciate the time. Thank you, everybody, in the chat for joining us. We got a lot of folks out in the UK. Thank you for hanging out with us as well.
Tom P and Jamal, if y'all haven't hit that subscribe button already, come on now. You can't come in here with that fire.
Yeah.
And not. And by the way, Tom P also said, surely there's a Soho House in Liverpool. Bruh, I'll be drinking with my feet up, not fighting anybody. You know what I mean? A little Manhattan with my pinky out, enjoying my whiskey.
All right. Yeah, hit that subscribe button. We forgot to mention that. You got to do it. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe, leave a comment, do the whole thing. We appreciate everybody. And make sure, go watch the Cooligans Classico. It's that documentary that we made out in at Goodison Park and hanging out in Liverpool. Again, super, super proud
Run that
of it.
Up. Yeah, run that up. Get, run that up.
Please share that with your friends. Anybody who's a fan of footy, let them know about it. We want everybody to see it. Seriously, we had
To whoever shared it in the Everton Reddit, thank you very much. That popped up as an alert.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, somebody shared in the Everton Reddit, and yo, if you guys know any Everton fans, send it to them. Let them see it. We want to run that up. Look, we haven't really focused on YouTube in forever. We just started. So, you know, some of these numbers are going to take a while to build, but with y'all behind us, we're going to get there.
Exactly. Thank you for all the support. We wouldn't be here without you guys. Okay. Yes. NYCFC is about to play. So we're going to go watch that in a moment.
Yes.
Make sure Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, Football Sports Network, go watch that episode. We're going to be joined by Becky G, the multi-platinum Crazy. Recording artist. Again, look up YouTube, Becky G. Look up, listen to her music. She has a great song. One of her biggest songs is with Bad Bunny called Mayores. Has 2 billion views. She's literally the most famous person we've ever had on our show.
Only 50% of those viewers come and watch our Everton video, okay, we'll be in a good place. So
that would be very helpful. Go check that out. It's going to be a great episode. It's Sebastian Legette and Becky G. It's going to be a really, really fun one.
In fact, we should probably rename our Everton video to Mayores to Becky G.
Just steal some of those views. That'd be nice.
You know, a couple of them crumbs.
And as always, follow us on all socials at Soccer Cooligans on everything. Again, we're doing a bunch of stuff, especially on Instagram and TikTok. So follow us on there if you are a fan of those platforms. And we'll be back next week. So y'all the absolute best. Thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate it. With that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!